The next item is...
You're doing a marvelous job.
I'll give it to you.
You're doing a marvelous job.
Briefing. Phil?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, I'm Phil DeRosa, the Director of Inland Fisheries. What I'd like to do this morning is spend a few minutes briefing you on a program that Inland Fisheries has been looking at for the last several years, an urban fishing program. The program aims to increase participation in fishing by focusing our efforts in urban areas and major population centers. Before I get started with the presentation, I'd like to introduce Dr. Bob Bessel. He's the Director of Fishery Science Center at Heart of the Hills. Bob has been the lead coordinating all these efforts statewide and is evaluating this pilot program. Our commitment to this program is expressed in both divisions and agencies' strategic plans. It's important that we work in urban areas because 85% of Texans live in these areas. Some 18 million people, and unfortunately most of them don't fish. This represents a huge potential for us to increase our constituency and gain support for agency programs and our mission. Now, I wish we could take the credit for coming up with all the ideas involved in this program, but really, we patterned this program after a model developed in Arizona, the Arizona Urban Fishing Program. They have this program on 20 lakes. Specifically in Arizona, this program is funded by a special license, a special urban fishing license, which allows people to fish only in these lakes. It's been successful. They've sold 49,000 licenses a year for this program. The program itself costs about $500,000 annually, and with a $16,000 license, they have a surplus revenue every year from this program. Now, trying to put this program in Texas creates quite a challenge for us because in Texas we have 25 metropolitan statistical areas with populations over 100,000. Now, 3 years ago we began a pilot program in a few of these urban areas that we eventually hope to expand to the rest of the state. Our objectives in this program can be stated that we envision a Texas urban program, fishing program, that provides year-round fishing, attracts children and adults who don't typically fish. We hope to be able to maintain high use and keep people interested year to year in the 25 metropolitan statistical areas. We need a program that makes fishing accessible, easy, and family-oriented. A program like this, we feel, can be expandable and if we can find ways to make it self-supporting. When we started this effort, we selected 8 small urban lakes around the state and began evaluating to find out what it would take to make this program successful. We want to bring urbanites into their neighborhoods to fish. We looked at stocking rates in our evaluation. We looked at stocking rates and frequency. We looked at angler demographics. We needed to determine how to best select the sites and to market the program, in other words, to get the word out. We looked at the anglers' understanding of regulations, developed a protocol for screening sites to avoid contaminant issues. You know, one of the things that we want to push with this is the opportunity for people in urban areas to go catch a few fish and come home and enjoy some fish. So we have to make sure we're not going any place that's contaminated and create another issue for us. But so far, every place we've looked at has been fine, so that's not an issue, but we did consider it and look at it. Now, we also assessed the requirement for establishing a what's called a tackle owner program, which means people can go and borrow, like go to a library and sign off for some fishing tackle. They can take the fish, so they don't necessarily have to have equipment. After a couple of years of modification and evaluation, we come up with a program that we believe will be successful. What this program involves is stocking fish every 2 weeks. For 10 months out of the year, we stock rainbow trout, catchable-sized rainbow trout in the winter months, and 12-inch channel catfish in the summer months. There are a couple of months in here where we don't stock because either primarily temperature, when the temperature is too high and we're afraid we're going to lose the fish. We also have worked hard to develop partnerships with the cities and rec departments in these areas. So far, we expect these people to help support this by paying 10 to 15% of the cost. And so far, we've been really successful at getting contributions from the cities. And primarily what we did in this last program is to evaluate participation, because we know participation will be our primary measure of success. We looked at several things in participation. We looked at what portion are new users. Are we just serving people that already fish, or are we bringing new users into the program? We also looked to see if we were getting people out in their neighborhoods who would normally fish elsewhere, try to give people a place to fish closer to home. And, of course, more importantly, we needed to know how many of these fishermen, how many new fishermen are we bringing to fish in these urban lakes. And so far, we've been doing the program now for 8 months. We've implemented the new procedures for the last 8 months, and I want to give you a little bit of the results that we found so far. And this, remember, this is from eight small lakes in major metropolitan areas. What we found about the people that are participating, about half of them are kids or new users. And we define a new user as somebody who hasn't bought a license less than 3 of the last 5 years, or kids. We found out that we are successfully attracting those people in the neighborhoods surrounding the lakes. Most of the people are coming from within 5 miles of the lake to fish here. And more than half of the people tell us this is the only place that they fish. So we're developing a constituency of people who fish only in these urban areas. When we look at participation, and this is 8 months out of the 10-month year, we're not completed with the year yet. For the first 8 months, we found that we had 23,000 different anglers fishing in these urban lakes. And they fished for a total of 78,000 angler trips, so it's 2 to 3 trips per person that we're finding. They fished for a total of 155 angler hours, which is about 5,000 hours per acre, which is a considerable amount of pressure. And predicting what we expect at the end of the 10-month period, we expect that we will have served 30,000 participants. So we can get 30,000 participants annually in eight small lakes in urban areas. Now, one of the primary things that we look at, of course, is the cost of this program, what it's actually cost us, and our division has committed to funding the evaluation of this program, the pilot program, because we know we have to have good results before we can move on and try to expand it. But what it actually cost us is about $220,000, and most of that cost is for the purchase of the fish. All of the fish provided in this program are purchased from private. We don't raise any rainbow trout in the state. And we found out that to have those fish available at the time we needed them, it was cheaper for us to go to commercial dealers to buy these catfish. So when you subtract the city contribution, we got about $22,000 from the cities to help us pay the freight cost here. It cost us about $200,000 to run this program to serve 30,000 people. And what that comes down to is about $25,000 per lake. The cost per participant is about $6.60, and the cost per adult is about $9.40. Where we plan to go from here is, we looked at the idea of perhaps recommending a new license, and that's not where we want to go now. We want to get the results of this program and put it in a package that we can go and market. Our hope is that we can work with the foundation, Parks and Wildlife Foundation, and other foundations to find private funding to support this program. And we want to thank Communications, Lydia and her group, who've done a real good job of helping us promote the program to this point. And once we get this first year of results, I think it's going to be something that we're going to ask them to help us market to go get private people to sponsor this. Any questions?
Well, Mr. Collins, thanks. Great work. I mean, I can't imagine anything more important to make sure that we've still got plenty of anglers buying fishing licenses 25 years from now.
So, it's kind of important to us.
Yeah. That's great work. Any other questions? Yeah, and Ned does.
I actually have a couple of questions, Phil. You mentioned both trout and catfish.
Yes, sir.
What all are you stocking?
Just those two species.
Right.
We're putting catchable size fish in there, and we have to put them on a regular basis. What happens is when we stock these fish, we know that within the week or so, if we don't go back in and restock them, people are going to have taken them, majority of them. So the backbone of this program is a regular stocking routine where we go in every 2 weeks and replenish that stock. And we want people to catch them, and we want people to take them.
5,000, did you say 5,000 hours?
Per acre.
Per acre.
Right. That's what that comes to. And that seems like a lot, but in Arizona, they actually measure about 10,000 hours of fishing per year for every acre of urban fishing lakes that they have, which means that we're getting a lot of participation.
Daylight to dark, one person every day, right?
Right. You know, you look at the Arizona program, they generate about $750,000 a year with this program. They sell a license for $16. That allows people to fish only on those lakes. If you want to fish other places, you have to have a regular fishing license and the urban. So it's a special deal, and they sell 49,000 of them a year.
Now, is there a way that you're educating these people about the state parks where they can also fish?
Absolutely.
That are close by, they're within 60 miles, so all that information's there. They want to try and fish somewhere else.
If we can get this program to expand, I would hope that we include several state park lakes in the program. You know, the ones where we think we can really help the visitation there.
Well, and get them interested in supporting those state parks that are within 60 miles of their urban area. Because right now they don't need a license to fish
in
those parks.
State park lane.
Phil, are we lending the tech and the fishing rods and so forth to these kids, or are you finding that they're buying their own?
I don't have any information on that. I know we've tried to establish these programs. There is a national program called a tackle loaner program where we get rods and reels donated and little tackle boxes. And the problem we have is setting up in a place where people can get to them fairly easily. And then you have a maintenance issue. You know, somebody has to be there to maintain them. But we've been fairly successful in several cities. You know, you can either be through a Parks and Rec office or through a library or anywhere where they come in and they sign out for it and they get to use it for the day and then they bring it back. So
what's, I think, very impressive is it appears that they're coming back. In other words, they're enjoying the experience, they're tasting it, and they're coming back. And the reason I ask that is, are they liking it to a point where on their return trip, they've already bought their little tackle box and stuff.
I don't. We haven't looked at that, have we, Bob? Yeah.
Okay. Anyway,
most of them only come with their own. You know, we're looking at things to promote this, like some things that we've talked about is if an adult brings a kid with them, they don't have to have a license. You know, there's some things we can do to promote bringing children to these places. And we're looking at all kinds.
We have some natural partners like Cabela's and Bass Pro Shop and Academy and so forth.
Well, we would hope this would be a program that would be something corporate people would want to look at because of the volume of people we're going to be dealing with.
That's great.
Thank you.